Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one career entertainment advice internet radio show worldwide. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality by dreaming about, or if you are currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Now, the guest on our show will help you by providing tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs, in front of and also behind the camera. And we also do theatrical stage. Now, the guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers, songwriters, script supervisors, sun people, and we throw in a damn entertainment attorney around Christmas just because. And all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, and that means that we will definitely have someone on this show who will be able to answer all of your show business career questions. Now, if you missed any of our shows or you need information about a specific entertainment career, you have to go to our archive page. That is on LATalkRadio.com on the website, and you just search for our show, which is called Question Reality, or you can search by my name, Priscilla Leona, and listen or download any of the shows 24 hours a day. I am here for you. All of the Question Reality shows are also available for free on iTunes. We're on Google Play and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure to get our newly designed free mobile app on the homepage of the LA Talk Radio website, and that's located on the right-hand side bottom, towards the bottom right-hand side. And finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on the show to promote yourself, your products, help your listeners, if you can't pay your rent, you need extra money for a shoe, please come on, promote your product, get some money, supplement your income. And if you just want to help listeners with your Sage career advice, we are currently booking for 2018. As you know, we always have a waiting list 6 months to a year in advance. So that doesn't mean that you shouldn't submit, because we put you on a waiting list and you will definitely be called for consideration. But that is the official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, not latalkradio.com, and click the contact link to submit for interview consideration. Now, before we go any further and introduce the guest today, I want to tell you, I've been getting so many emails. Yes, Joe Estevez is coming back on the show. As you know, we had Joe Estevez on the show a couple months ago, and he is starring opposite William Shatner in a movie called Senior Moments, which I think I'm starting to have. It's called Senior. Go to the website, seniormomentsthemovie.com, and check it out. But he is going to be here. He will be playing, of course, opposite William Shatner. And it's going to be a funny, funny movie. I mean, how can you watch old William and not? Oh, it's in a comedy. I mean, in a comedy. Who the heck? I mean, I love Bill when he was T.J. Hooker throwing himself across the damn hood, but he's really, really funny. He has great comedic chops. So Joe Estevez is going to come, I think maybe a week before the premiere is supposed to come out. So yes, 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 Joe Estevez is coming back. We loved him. All right. Now, we have... Now, you know I try to bring only hot, sexy guys on the show. You know I'm a pervert. I can't find anyone 16 to 21, so a little older today, but nonetheless, we got some hotties up in the house today. That's like my main thing. We have the wonderful, talented... Get ready, Albert. Oh, I forgot to introduce my husband, Albert. You know, he's in charge of the applause and the gong meter. We have the wonderful, talented Cassie. Not yet, yo. Not yet. Oh, no, not the gong. He gets the applause. Oh, Lord, lucky I'm not paying him. I just let him put whipped cream on my feet Friday nights at midnight. He's happy. Ow. That's what we do. So far, Alan does not know this, but 282 emails. I tried to get as many questions as possible, but unfortunately, I cannot do all the questions, so I got a couple. But we have the lovely, hot, sexy Alan Hooper!
Yeah.
Woo! Yes! Yes! Woo! Yes!
Awesome.
He and his gorgeous wife, Teresa, is sitting over there, so I will not be trying to feel him up under a table like, you know, I normally do. I sat him on the opposite side of me, so he couldn't be in reach. I got Ben over here on the left, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Alan Hooper is casting director of Modern Family and Superior Donuts. If you do not know Modern Family and Superior Donuts, and you're in the entertainment industry, what the hell is wrong with you? You need to be back slinging hash, because these are two of the top sitcoms in the world, like worldwide. We also have a co-host today. Now, this guy, I highly recommend that you also go on IMDb. Now, Alan Hooper, you just Google him. He's going to be everywhere. You can also check out his credits on imdb.com. He has a website, alanhooper.com. He's on Twitter, Alan_Hooper. Ben Turner Dixon is an actor. Yes. Yes. Yes, Ben Turner Dixon is too sexy for his shirt kind of sexy. You know that song? Remember that song back in the 90s? I'm too sexy for my... He's like the too sexy for the shirt thing. He is here today, and Ben is going to be helping us by asking a couple of questions from the actor's perspective on the scary subject of being a casting director, which Alan Hooper is. So let me just tell you a little bit about Alan. You should know him. Again, if you're in this industry and you do not know Alan Hooper, well, you better learn to know him, because he is one of the top casting directors. Now, he has been working for over 10 years, and he's currently casting, as I said, for Modern Family and Superior Donuts. And 2015, he received the Casting Society of America's Associate Spotlight Award, Los Angeles, primarily for his work advocating for casting associates as their shop steward for Teamsters Local 399. And we're going to be talking about that in just a couple minutes. That's very, very important for our industry. And our co-host, Ben Dixon, as I said, Ben Dixon, oh my gosh, he is an actor and a voiceover performer from Atlanta, Georgia. Little do you know, he has been on, when I read his credits, I'm like, oh my God, I love that show, I love that show, I love that show. Some of his credits, he was on House, Dexter, Revenge, Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yay, Alan loves that, Rizzoli and Isles, and most recently, a recurring arc on Albert's favorite show, TNT's The Last Ship. And his voiceover credits include the network promotional campaign for TNT's Will. I am not familiar with that. I'm going to have to find out what that is. Various voice matches for ADR and Sound Alike, and a variety of television and radio commercials. So I highly recommend you go on IMDb and check him out under Ben Turner Dixon. He's on Vimeo, Facebook, and Instagram. And once you see him, if you're a guy, you might be whipping out the Vaseline. Because I'm telling you, the boy is hot. His girlfriend Rachel over here is like ready to like kill me because I keep embarrassing him. But she knows she's got it hooked up on the night. But he is a wonderful man. I met him last year in Mary Lou Belli's intensive sitcom workshop, and he was very, very kind to me. And I thought, my goodness, he would be such a great co-host. Let's just bring him back on. So there you go. Now, real quick, before we start talking to these guys, I thought this was very important. So I actually wrote this out because, as you know, I cannot memorize lines, but I wrote this out because I run across so many actors who are terrified of casting directors. They are scared of them. When they run across them at parties, when they try to network with them, it sometimes does not come out putting them in a very positive light. They start reeking of desperation, which is the worst thing you can do. But I just wanted to write this for you and tell you that casting directors are advocates and they're champions, and they are they're here to host your experience and shepherd you in, not hold you back. So please, please, please do not be terrified of Alan Hooper. He is your shepherd. Okay, so let's start with you, Alan. First of all, congratulations, because last Wednesday marked the 200th episode of Modern Family. And Albert should be giving the applause, but I guess he's videotaping. All right, let's all clap. Applause, applause. Hey-o. Yay! Yes, yes, yes. And it aired, and then you all started on the back order of Superior Donuts giving all of you a full season this year. So congratulations. What did that mean for you? Because Modern Family, as I understand from your wife, Teresa, because I didn't know the exact how long it's been on, but she said that that's been on for like 8 or 9 years, I believe.
Correct.
Years. I mean, it's gone so fast, I didn't know it had been on that long.
Yeah, it does seem to have just flown by because we have so much fun on it. But I've been on it since the pilot working for, and I should clarify, the casting director for Modern Family and Superior Donuts is Jeff Greenberg. He won an Emmy for Modern Family. So I'm technically the casting associate.
I see.
On both shows.
I apologize for that.
Well, no, I don't mind the promotion. but no. So. And I have a great time working with him. Yeah. We've both been working on the show since the pilot. We also were fortunate. We did the pilot for Superior Donuts and are now doing the series. Should give a shout out to Tracy Lillianfield, who they did some recasting on the pilot that she helped with before we took over the series. Okay. Again. But for me, it's just a dream come true that I always born in Alabama, raised in Georgia, I always watched movies, watched TV, and it was something I always wanted to be a part of. And like with many people, I thought the path was going to be acting.
Right.
And I always, one of my catchphrases, Ben's probably heard this, is acting is a gateway drug to a better career in the entertainment industry. So in trying to find ways to make my acting career happen, I ended up interning for Ulrich Dawson Kritzer over 10 years ago and learned about the casting business there with the people that worked there. And then that led to my first job, which was for Gilda Stradon and Pat Melton on a Fox series called Meet the Marks. Hmm. And if you claim to know that show, I will call you a liar.
I don't know that.
Yeah,
I prefer actor.
Yeah, it aired of the 6 episodes aired during the summer.
Who was starring in that?
It was, Caitlin Olsen was on it, who's now known for The Mick and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, I love her. Yeah. They cast me on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And again, like Ben, she was so kind to me. Mm-hmm. I played a Russian seamstress in the factory scene, accidentally not bumped into poor, who did I bump into? Albert.
Danny DeVito.
Albert.
Nice.
Nearly knocked the man across the room. He said, did you get that? He actually was going to use the footage.
Yeah,
he
right.
didn't in the final, but he loved it.
Yeah,
but
awesome.
Yeah, so she's wonderful,
yeah.
So kind.
She was the very daughter nice. On this show. Her brother was Patrick Cavanaugh. Joe, and I'm blanking on Joe's last name, he was the dad, and there was a mom on the show as well. And it was this just strange hybrid show. It was supposed to be a sitcom, But what they did was the four of them were in a sitcom with a loose script where they would improvise, which I know you want to do.
I love that.
And
like date, like Curb Your Enthusiasm style. Like I love what Larry did. I like that.
Except they were in a house in Sherman Oaks that was tricked out with all these hidden cameras. And they would bring a real person into the house and put them unknowingly into the middle of a sitcom.
Whoa.
Oh, God, I would have loved that.
Pretty
That's a great concept.
Yeah,
yeah. They
were
like
the mark.
That.
They were the mark that they were trying to fool.
Hence the title.
Meet the Marks.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah. So what happened? Why didn't it take off? I bet it was a lot of it has to do with timing.
Yeah, I'm sure it was
before its time. Wow. That would be a total hit right now.
I think it would be. I think it might have been ahead of its time. There's, you know, a number of shows that have been
like that. So many shows end up being ahead of their time. So many great shows. Or they don't give it enough time to get an audience. Yeah. So
there's a lot of shows that come and go pretty quickly. It's just the nature of the business, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what did you do on that show? I just want to know.
Oh, I was the casting assistant.
Oh, okay. So you were casting.
Yeah, that's when that was my first paid job in the casting profession.
So is that when you knew? Is that when it sparked? You know what? I kind of like this better than the acting.
I really...
Is that what did it?
No, it was because I was still going back and forth between trying to pursue acting and working in casting for Gilda. She was nice enough to hire me a few times. And then my day job I had lost. I got laid off from my day job, and I was scrambling for something, anything. And I got fortunate enough, through luck, managed to get an interview to work for Jeff Greenberg. And Colin Daniel was his associate at the time. Colin's off his own business now with Brett Greenstein.
Mm-hmm.
They interviewed me, and I started work within 5 minutes.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What year are we talking where they did that?
Well, no.
And you didn't even have to get on the casting couch or anything?
No,
what
I did not.
What is going on? That must have been pre-90s.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but they had actually fired somebody and needed somebody to start immediately.
Wow.
So I show up for the interview, and they say, when can you start? I went, well, I'm out at the moment, whenever you need.
Yeah.
And they went, well, let's get your car off the street into the parking structure, and we'll get you started right now.
Do you see that? Wow. There are so many people say there's no such thing as luck. I mean, that was luck. I mean, obviously, they hadn't been able to see your skills and talents. All they had was you were there, and somebody, look, absolutely. So, I wanted to talk about Modern Family. First of all, it's one of my favorite sitcoms. And you are, along with so many people, part of the casting process. Now, I got to say that out of all the recurring characters, Pepper is my favorite. I am obsessed with Nathan Lane. I can only remember the episodes that he was in. Like the most recent one when they did the little boy that was adopted.
Yeah, and they were doing the kickball.
I couldn't stand it. I can't stand it. He is so... I want him to be on there more. Why? Why can't he come on more?
Well, he's a very busy person.
Oh,
so we're very fortunate to have him on there when we do.
That's true.
And it, kind of...
God, he's good.
He's so awesome every time he's on there.
I hate to say it, but boy, when he's in a scene, I can't take my... He kind of steals the scene for me, and I'm like, more! Oh, is he going to be in the next scene? I want him to be... I'm just so...
Well, I'll give you a little bit of a spoiler. He's coming up again.
All right. Yeah!
Not how you would expect it, but he's coming up again.
You better not kill him off, Alan.
No.
Don't
we wouldn't
be
do that.
Killing my Pepper off. But he is just... I mean, the casting is so, so important because... the chemistry, how do you do that, actually? Because there are so many shows that come on, and I'm not going to name anything in particular, but God, I wish I could. But it's like there's either chemistry or there's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you just know it from the very first episode. And I don't know about a lot of people, but I have always had the ability to know. And Albert, we've been married 22 years, and he will tell you, I have some sort of gift. I watch the first episode and I say, that will never make three episodes, or that show will never last. And I've only been wrong about one show.
Wow.
And which show was that?
Just Legal.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was Bones. Bones.
Ah.
And that was only because her voice was so monotone. But now, in the end, it fits so perfectly with the character. But I've only been wrong about that. And chemistry is so important. So when you're casting as a casting director, And say it's just you. Usually it's not just one person when you get to your level, which is the upper echelon and, you know, the higher caliber. How do you figure out about the chemistry aspect so that you are going to cast a show that is going to keep you working like you have been for the past 8 years? How do you do it?
Well, sometimes you see it and sometimes you just get really lucky. Because with Ed O'Neill and Sofia Vergara, they were both offered their roles, so you didn't know that they were going to make that relationship work as brilliantly as they did. Julie Bowen and Ty Burrell auditioned for their roles, but they never read together. You didn't see it until they got on set. Now, with Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Eric Stone Street, Jesse was cast first as Mitchell, and then when we were trying to find the Camerons, for the network test, we brought Jesse into that, and he read with Eric, and he read with the other contenders, and you could just see that those two gentlemen had just great chemistry. And, you know, besides Eric's talent, that was part of what helped push him to the front to make certain that he was now Emmy winner Eric Stone Street as Cameron Tucker.
I love him. Oh, my God. I actually love him when he does this show where he hosts with the kids.
Oh, the Toy Box.
The Toy Box.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he's so good on that, too. He's good in everything. I guess that's why he is where he is. But casting is so important. So I always wondered how, when you have, that's a huge cast for a sitcom. I mean, they don't really do too many sitcoms anymore where they have, what is it, 8, 9 people?
There's now 12 regulars on the show.
12, including the new baby, which I guess is they might be growing the baby up.
Yeah, Jeremy McGuire is the newest cast member, and he got his series regular break when he was 4 years old.
Wow.
He actually, technically, he was 3 years and 364 days when he started work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Now, the last time, I want to touch on this briefly because I got so many emails after you were on last time. When you came on the last time, you were here as part of a collective that you were here. I don't know if you were here in the Shop Steward capacity, but I think that you did partake in what you were doing as far as being able to help the casting director workshops. Now, hopefully, if you're in the entertainment industry, you do know what's been happening with casting director workshops. If you don't, which believe it or not, I try to have conversations with people about this. A lot of actors, they don't even know what's going on about. Can you please tell us what happened then, briefly, what happened then, what is happening now? What's the process?
Well, it's currently still kind of the same as last we spoke, although more people have taken plea deals because they just didn't have the emotional or financial means to continue. And
stop right there. But people, what Alan is referring to was that a lot of what was happening was when you get started, there are many different things you can do to become an actor, classes, blah, blah, blah. But one of the things is to go to casting director workshops. Now, you have to be very careful because and anywhere you go, there are a bunch of scam artists. There are people who claim to be able to do this for you and that for you. And you pay your money and you go to these workshops. And basically, they are not legitimate and authentic. So what had happened was, for those of you who don't know, as I said, there have been a lot, whoever started this, and Alan can tell you, whoever started this crackdown on these casting director workshops, and they were arresting legitimate casting directors for saying that they were, and then take it from there.
Yes. What they were saying was these casting director workshops where casting professionals go in and teach a one-night refresher course for actors, or maybe they'll do like a 3-week course or something longer. But they're typically one-night events to give the actors a chance to be in a different environment in front of somebody different, hear their thoughts on their craft, and get some feedback that hopefully will be of value to them. Unfortunately, the city of Los Angeles, the city attorney's office, decided that what the casting professionals were doing and the people that ran these companies was selling auditions.
Right.
And I don't believe that's the case. And I will tell you right now, if anybody was selling an audition, I would be there in line saying, throw them in jail. They should be run out of town. That's just not right. But that's not what these professionals were doing. And back in February, there was a city had a press conference, and our city attorney, Mike Fuhrer, who I am absolutely no fan of, had a press conference where they... Where they announced the defendants and who were charged. And in announcing who was charged, they had not actually served any of these individuals. They all found out that they were charged by this PR stunt by Mike Fuhrer, who, this is what's so ironic to me, he put out a flyer to try and help actors know how a workshop is legitimate. And one of the things it says on there is, the casting professional will not take your headshot or resume. And in the bottom left of this flyer is Mike Fuhrer's headshot.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah. So they brought the charges. People were trying to fight it. Slowly but surely, people ran out of money because there's been delay after delay after delay.
Right.
And they just realized it was going to be easier to do a no-contest plea deal than to spend the money. And it's emotionally draining to so many people. There's one person had her charges dismissed 3 days before she was supposed to go to trial. Oh. And to me, that says the city knew they didn't have a case, but they do have another defendant that on the 22nd of January, she has another trial date where I expect there will be more delays because that's the city's strategy is delay, delay, delay until you break people.
Yeah. And you had been, you along with the other people that were here, and I'm sure many others, were starting a sort of like an advocacy program to kind of help pay their legal fees and to offer various things that you could do to help. What has happened since then? Any progress?
No, not really. Jason Kennedy had started a, he's a co-casting director of NCIS and NCIS LA. And he, just as a concerned citizen and a colleague of everybody, put out a, created a generosity campaign to raise money for the defendants. And he raised over $30,000, but it was being divided amongst 18 people. So it helps, and it, you know, it helped these people know they were supported. But it just doesn't pay the bills. Yeah. There was a letter of support that he helped rally the troops, and there was an open letter signed by over 100 casting professionals saying we supported the defendants and we thought what the city was doing to them was wrong. And, you know, that helped them emotionally, but it really didn't sway the city. They've got their sites to get this done.
What can we do? Is there a website that we can go to? Well, because I told so many people about it and so many people listened to that show, but when they went to Google and tried to like find a website or find out more, there was not a designated website. Is there anything that we can tell the people to do to help, even if it is to help with the campaign financially?
The two suggestions I would have, if they are SAG members, they should contact Duncan Crabtree Ireland. He's general counsel for SAG.
Okay.
And he stood at the press conference where the charges were announced. And those that are pro-workshop need to call his office and explain to him that SAG needs to do a better job of publicly supporting casting professionals and the actors that wish to learn from them. And then the other is call Mike Fuhrer's office and not only ask him why he's coming after us when there's really no evidence there, the main thing they really need to do, Deadline.com on December 15th published an expose on a company that was scamming parents and children out of thousands of dollars. They had an endorsement letter from Eric Garcetti, our mayor of Los Angeles. They also had an endorsement letter from 7-8 city council members. Dianne Feinstein had written this company a letter. And Deadline wrote an article showing what was really going on and how everybody had been duped. And the woman, the mom that has helped spearhead this article, she's been trying to get Mike Fuhrer's office to take her case and bring charges against these people, and he will not return her calls.
Isn't that something?
If I could weigh in on this I mean, first off, a couple of the credits that you just listed from back in the day, both House and Dexter, were as a result of casting workshops from some exposure and some introductions that I've made during those workshops that I was very grateful for. And it just speaks to me that as far as the politics go, it's coming after an easy mark in terms of these casting associates and casting professionals who are doing this work. And of course, there isn't going to be there very well could be and are some bad actors among them, but by and large, it just speaks to me that, you know, the politics, they're just looking for an easy win and looking to show that they're doing something.
And now I had gone to a lot of casting director workshops, and you know how when you go on your breaks, now what I had, and Alan was here last time, I don't know if he remembers that, he seems like he has a very good memory, so he probably will remember this. I was running across a lot of people who were complaining because they couldn't afford, first of all, to pay the fee to come to the workshop to get in front of a casting director of, again, Alan Hooper's caliber, or like Caroline Leem or someone like that. And they were very upset because they would pay their money, they would get up in front of the casting director, and then the casting director would say, okay, great, thanks, and then next. So some actors who don't understand the process, that's just how it is. You got up there, you read your line, there's a whole room full of people. They got to move on. They can't sit there and teach you how to act. And I think that was probably what a lot of people, actors were. They were disgruntled. And what I was finding.
I would say in that instance, they actually have a legitimate complaint because they did pay their money. They were hoping for some value for their money. They should have gotten at least some educational or training value. They got a little bit of training value there, but it doesn't sound like much.
Right.
And so,
but then that's what the Q&As are for, which every casting director usually does after. So ask your questions.
Correct. So, yes, there is, and there's some that are done well and some that are done not so well. There are some people that are good teachers, some people that are bad teachers.
Right.
But I don't think the solution is for the city to come in and file charges.
No.
I think the solution is for, like, Asia Rae Coleman was here last time. She's got Acting Resource Guru, and there's other places where actors can find out who are the good teachers, what are the good workshop locations, and the ones that aren't good, don't go spend your money there, and eventually they will no longer be in business.
Right. And the way you do that is Google. Google. You got to Google. You got to ask your fellow actors, hey, where do you go? You know, ask questions. I find it amazing among so many things I run across actors, and half of them are out here to become actors, and yet they can't tell you 10 shows that are on TV. And I say, oh, well, do you watch this? Trying to Bond. Oh, well, do you watch this show? That, you know what they say to me? Oh, I don't have time. I don't have time to watch the shows. So that's the same person who can't Google where to find a good casting director workshop.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I would say is they're saying they don't have the money to go train to be educated in these forums. Well, it's a lot cheaper than spending $50,000 going to Juilliard.
Uh-huh.
And how many people, I mean, don't get me wrong, Juilliard is an awesome place and gives a great, you know, basis in acting for the people that graduate from there. But they can only train so many people, and it costs that much.
That's right.
And so, you know, life, unfortunately, is not fair at times, especially when it comes to finances.
No. Now, Ben, you had some really wonderful questions. I really loved your questions. I'd like to address the questions. I don't know if you can remember them. You are an actor and have a great memory, but I put them right in front of you because I loved every single one of these questions.
Well, now they're official.
So now, Alan, Ben is going to ask you from the actor's perspective.
All righty.
They're really good questions.
Here goes nothing. All right, Alan.
Do I need to phrase my answer in the form of a question?
Yeah, I would say, well, Ben
is that
Turner
your answer? Because excellent work.
I'd like to take home some rice-a-rooney.
All right, jumping right in here.
Okay.
Gloves are off, Alan. Question number one, and this is kind of an amorphous phrase, but so often actors are told to, in an audition setting, take control of the room. Whatever in the hell that means.
I know they tell me, and you know I can't remember damn lines. I'm like, well, what? You want me to just come up with my own lines? So that's why I loved your questions. Alan, what's happening here?
So to that point, or to that idea, what is the most impressive instant that you've seen or experienced of an actor successfully taking control of the room? And what is the worst backfire? You have 2 minutes.
Okay. I have 2 minutes. Great. Okay. So the first one was actually done by a 14-year-old actor. who he came in. He actually did not get the role, but he came in for, he was one of three that we brought in for the producers on Superior Donuts to see in person. And he did the first scene, he did the second scene, he got to the third scene, and before the third scene, he said, hey, do you guys mind if I add a bit of dialogue in this moment?
Whoa.
I know, because normally actors don't ask permission, they just do it, insult the writers who are sitting there as the producers and don't get the job.
Yeah. But he, thank you, we'll call.
Yeah, but he asked permission, and then his dialogue that he came up with was so good that I'm thinking we need to hire this 14-year-old to be a writer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was just a genius moment where it wasn't just funny in the moment. It made a callback to something in the first scene, and it just showed how much, how talented he was and how he really knew everything. And he was polite and asked permission to change their script.
Wow.
Actors love to change dialogue. And that's going to lead me to the worst one that comes to mind when you ask that question. We were working on a pilot, series regular role. Gentleman came in. His first speech, he had three lines. He made five changes.
Oh,
and Jeff Greenberg, the casting director I work with, he politely said to the gentleman, he goes, oh, I'm sorry, could you back up, please? We need to hear the script as written. He got angry, the actor.
Oh.
He didn't say anything, but his eyes bulged slightly. Mm-hmm. He had a little cartoon steam coming out of his ears. And he just had this attitude of, who are you, you know, that are hired to cast this project, that have seen so many other people read for it, that have talked to the producers and know what they're looking for, and have worked on so many other high-quality shows. Who are you to tell me how to bring this to life? Needless to say, it did not go well.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
He must have really not have wanted that job.
No. Mm. But he did get some feedback to his agent.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Because the agent had put himself out there and had pitched this guy and asked us to see him. We had a good relationship with the agent, and it didn't diminish our relationship with the agent, but we were wondering if this gentleman was diminishing the agent's relationship with others.
Other offices,
so we wanted to give our friend you know, a heads up as to what this person was unfortunately doing in the real world.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Just crazy.
Next question, Ben.
All righty. So, and this kind of callbacks to the...
I still wanted to know what, which Ben's question was when they say take control of the room, because what do they mean? Do you mean like walk in the space, like come, because you're usually you sit there or you have to stay in the purview of the camera. So what are you talking about?
Well, I think for me, what the question, the answer to the question is, it's your moment. This is your job opportunity. And you don't want to waste it by, you don't want to take too much control.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if I come out and I say, hey, are you ready? You're next. And you're not, you need to say, hey, do you mind if I have another minute? And if I say, well, we're in a hurry, we need you to be ready now. Well, then you just got to roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I mean by take charge. If you're not ready, tell us you're not ready. Mm-hmm. If you need another moment, take another moment. If you're in the room and we politely say, would you like another few minutes to look at this? The answer 100% of the time is yes.
Okay.
And 99% of the time the actor goes, no, I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it. Let me try it again. Because they think in us giving them more time, we're going to judge them.
Yeah.
You know, give them a demerit. We're not. We're giving them the time because we want them to do well.
Right.
And they just need to hear that.
That's
now, we did have one actress come in. This is when I first started working for Jeff. She came in. She sat down in the floor in the middle of a producer session, put her script on the table, and started going through it line by line, asking the producers for some script analysis.
Wow.
So that was taking control in a bad way.
That was cray-cray.
Correct.
That was cray-cray.
So it's a fine balance between making it your moment, but at the same time respecting that everybody else has responsibilities and time constraints, and you don't have all day.
Got it. Okay, Ben, what's your next question?
Right on. So moving on to number two, and this is kind of could be a callback to the first topic, but in looking for fresh talent, what resources do you usually rely on most heavily, be it agents, managers, local theater, et cetera?
Well, I hate to answer it this way, but people thinking casting directors are required to look for fresh talent, that's an urban myth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a miss. It's not. We do find fresh talent, but our actual job is to find quality, qualified people for each role. And sometimes when you run out of people with experience, you move on to people that are fresh. This is the analogy I give. When you go into McDonald's and you have a problem and the manager comes up, are you hoping it's a 16-year-old who's experiencing his first job and they found somebody fresh to be the manager of McDonald's? Or are you hoping it's somebody that had worked in the store for a while or maybe even went to business school to help you with your problem? Yeah. Because I'll say every SAG member that is known is hoping you're not looking for fresh talent.
Yeah.
They want you to look for tried and true because they're trying to make a career at it. So, yeah, I would say there's two series regulars on Modern Family that were fresh talent, and that was 2 4-year-olds that we hired.
3 years and 364 days.
Yes, exactly. But Aubrey Anderson Emmons and Jeremy McGuire, Aubrey was definitely one of her first things, if not her first thing, was booking a series regular role on Modern Family. Jeremy had done some commercials and some other stuff, so he was sort of known, just not known to us. But if we're looking for fresh talent or we need to find some new faces, the number one place still is Breakdown Services. And with the changes at 20th Century Fox, now a close second is LA Casting.
Really? Over Actors Access?
Or yes.
Really? Now, what? How do you feel about, personally, we were talking about this briefly. I think Teresa and I, your wife and I, were talking about this briefly about, you know, you got to take so much time to go to the audition, and then, you know, there's gas money and this, and the actor is barely scraping by as it is. Now, of course, a couple years ago, they came up with something. Is it called eCast or EconoCast that Actors Access has?
Yeah, Actors Access and Breakdown Services offer a service called EcoCast.
Right. So you get your sides from ShowFax, and then you can do the audition and then you submit it. How many, honestly, how many of those do you actually watch?
Well, we with Modern Family and Superior Donuts do not use EcoCast. I used it for an independent film that I was casting myself because I was doing it on a low budget, helping these filmmakers, and so I had all the actors that were submitted that I chose to tape, they would submit through EcoCast a tape so I could watch those in between my other responsibilities and help kind of cast this film on the side.
Right.
But with Modern Family and Superior Donuts, we when we put out a breakdown, or we put out a brief on LA Casting, is what it's now called, we bring in the actors live and in person. And they come in and they pre-read for us, and then we decide who's going to go to producers for callbacks. And there's always people in the room. And, you know, with Superior Donuts, we do put the producer sessions on tape and send the best tapes to our producers. But for Modern Family, there's at least one producer and sometimes a director in the room helping us, you know, figure out who's the best ones to show.
And why LA Casting over Actors Access? Because I know that people are paying, I think it's like, I don't know, $58 or $68 a year. And you do get the benefit of having the ability to get to submit for free. And then I think you get sides from their sister company, ShowFax. So what's happening? Is Actors Access like not?
Well, the difference is Breakdown Services has their main site, which is where agents and managers submit their clients.
Right.
And then Actors Access is where actors can submit themselves.
Right.
LA Casting used to be primarily for commercials, but back in November, they made a deal with 20th Century Fox, Fox Network, all the Fox companies, to where they would do what Breakdown Services was doing. And so now for Modern Family, we put out what they call a brief instead of a breakdown. And agents and managers submit through this different site where it used to be Breakdown Services. And so for me, the big difference is actors, an actor should always think they can play any role. That's an awesome goal, an awesome bar to set for an actor. They cannot be cast as every role.
Oh, well, I do a voiceover.
That, you know, that is so funny. You say that, Alan. And I have a friend, as I said, they always are sending me out for the fluffy roles because, you know, I do have my Michelin tire rocking, which I don't mind because when I go to the auditions, I know that most likely I'm not going to get the part because I have an agent who submits me for parts where I'm supposed to be singing opera and I can't even sing in tune. So he'll send me for parts that I absolutely shouldn't even be going to, but I go anyway because I end up booking them on my radio show. That's my goal. But the question is that I have always believed you should submit your client or submit people for any role, because if you're a good actor, they could come. There have been cases where they have rewritten the role. Am I right? I mean,
there are a few of those.
I've heard stories.
But let me give you an example of what I mean by actors not submitting themselves properly. We would put out a breakdown when we need twins.
Yeah.
There's not that many twins that are actors, so we'll put it out to the agents and managers, and then we would put it out on Actors Access. And 90% of the people that submitted did not have a twin.
Wow.
Okay?
I know.
So that's what I mean. They all think they're Tatiana Maslany.
Oh, I love her.
And for a co-star role, you need actual twins, because you're not going to spend the money to CGI it all together. But that's what I mean. So if we put out a breakdown that just says, you know, early 30s attractive,
yeah,
imagine how far afield they can get.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, people in their 40s think they're early 30s.
Yeah.
Or people who, I always say this flippantly, whose mama said they were attractive, but they're not.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, real world attractive and there's Hollywood attractive.
Right.
And you just got to know the difference when you know what you're pursuing.
And that's very important. You know your brand. And you know what you think you look like or who you are is not, that might not be how other people see
that's
you.
That's a 5-minute
So
part.
It's very, very important that you ask a lot of people like Alan Hooper, what do you see me as? You know, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
I would ask a casting person.
When I was pursuing acting, it was the WB, which turned into the CW. I was not an actor that should have been on the WB.
Right.
Because they were all very pretty people.
Right.
You know, and I would be more towards a character actor.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between. But, you know, I'm not Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise as much as I claim I am.
But you know, a lot of people, it's just like on American Idol, for God's sakes. They go on there, they think they can sing because everybody in their family said, and they clearly can't. So that applies to acting. You got to know your genre. You really should.
Correct.
And submit correctly, mm-hmm. right? So what is next for you? What happens? What is happening for Alan Hooper after Modern Family, Superior Donuts? What are your plans? Do you plan on going directing, producing? What is going to be the legacy that you leave? The Alan Hooper legacy.
Well, I think I am very fortunate that I know the legacy will at least be Modern Family.
Oh, yeah.
That and I'm hoping to be fortunate enough, like Jeff Greenberg, who I work for, because he worked on Cheers. He worked on Wings. He worked on Frasier. He's working on Modern Family now. I am hopeful that after Modern Family, there will be something else that is the next Modern Family.
Yeah.
I will be extremely lucky for that to be the case. But my goal is just to continue working in casting, that I might, you know, eventually go off and get my own projects and be the casting director with my own associates. But I've had so much fun working with Jeff and working on Modern Family that a lot of people might have made that move sooner.
Right.
But I have not, just because of where I am now. And
if
I'm
it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Really briefly, we'll pick on three.
Mm-hmm.
What are the three best things and worst things you could do for your career as an actor, as far as not just casting, but overall in general?
Well,
three best and three worst.
The best thing is to get the words right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
And by that, I'll make it very simple, like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
In Shakespeare, you don't add well, so you don't add anything. You don't add a button. You know, you do it exactly as written. Get the words right. Two is you have to realize that everybody is kind of in a similar position to you, because we'll have actors show up and they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I just got this. I'm like, yeah, I know. We just gave it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they start trying to make excuses for what's about to not work as opposed to just come in confidently knowing they're going to do the best they can.
Yeah.
And that hopefully will be enough.
Right.
And the other thing, I had an acting coach. Her name's Molly Benson. She's kind of retired. You can find her on Facebook giving advice there. But she always said you have to want it more than anything, but at the same time not want it at all.
That's right.
And that's an extreme balancing act. You've got to want it so much that you will put all of your effort into that audition. But the minute that audition is over, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
It's true, because that rejection can take you down.
Yeah.
For me, the best litmus test of a good audition is if I can walk out of there and never think about it again. And just know that I gave a performance that won't haunt me. where I know that it represents the preparation, represents my creative voice, and hits the marks that I prepared. Done and done.
Mm. Last one. A lot of people think that being a casting director is a glamorous and highly coveted job and to be a casting director. And I imagine that most of those people might be actors, Ben and other actors. But what are some of the unknown or lesser known behind the scene realities of working in casting for people who are thinking about becoming or want to be a casting director?
Okay. It's a very fun job, but you do have to love it, because even though we have union benefits with health plan and pension, our minimum for casting associates is currently $15 an hour. Oh. And it just went up a week or two ago. It was $14 an hour before that.
Whoa.
Yeah. So everybody out there that thinks casting associates are making a killing financially, they are incorrect.
Wow.
They're making $15 an hour, which for a 60-hour week, so keep in mind, we're now having to work 12 hours a day to then make $1,050 per week.
Wow.
And not work every week out of the year.
Good thing L.A.'s so cheap.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, Modern Family and Superior Donuts do a little better for me, but I've got 10 years of experience.
Right.
You know, so, but the average associate, $15
an
hour.
That's the same as a McDonald's worker now.
It's pretty close.
That's the minimum wage, I think.
It's going, in 2020 in Los Angeles and California, minimum wage will be $15 an hour. But yeah, we're not far ahead of them. And well, that's the hard part, is it's a lot of work for not much money.
And that, I mean, coming back to the workshops for a moment, you know, that's what trips me out, is how can you expect for, you know, people making $15 an hour in this town not to have to supplement their incomes while also, you know, enriching their, you know, their a portfolio of knowledge of actors in the space. You know, it just seems so antithetical.
Yeah, that's what bothers me the most, is the anti-workshop people that think I should be giving my free time to helping others, which, you know, sometimes I will do, but the expectation that we're there at their beck and call to just find them somehow, that's not how it works in any profession.
Right. I know. That's amazing. Okay, so you put on the promotional list that I had asked you to put together, you put that you wanted to discuss something, Me Too and Time's Up, and see something, say something, do something. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, well, it's the whole sexual harassment thing that started with Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
And many, many brave women have come forward and finally spoken up and said, this went wrong. You know, been a few men that have spoken up as well. But it's the hardest thing to do, I think, especially in Hollywood, where it's such a tight-knit community that everybody's afraid if they say something and point out a wrong that they'll get blacklisted. And so I just encourage everybody, not only see something, say something, but then do something as well. I have an email address. It is postcard@alanhooper.com. Anybody that has any issue, they can even try and call my office if they want. I want to be open and help people that have an issue. I can't guarantee that I can help them, but I will listen. And sometimes I'll know somebody else that has a similar issue, and I can connect the two people and then strengthen numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been so much good done lately to try to correct so many wrongs that went back 20 or 30 years that I just think we all need to be open to helping with that. And not just wearing, you know, the ribbon of the week or wearing a certain color. You know, you got to be willing to do more than that. And, you know, speak up and help your fellow man and woman, you know. It's something very important to me, because if we don't speak up, it won't.
Real quick, we just watched the two Corys. Did you watch that?
No, I haven't seen that.
I mean, yeah, that was the whole thing about, of course, Corey Feldman was, he was asked by, I believe the host, forgive me if I'm wrong, I think it was Sean Robinson, but she asked him, what do you feel was the biggest problem in Hollywood and is still the biggest problem in Hollywood today? And out of all the things that Corey Feldman could have said, he said pedophilia. is that I never in a million years would have even thought that that was the problem in Hollywood.
Well, there's a lot of people with dreams, and those dreams, then there's evil people that take those dreams and use them to make a power play or just get what they need. And it's just abhorrently wrong, but and luckily it's come to light so much recently, and hopefully some good will come with it, and we can continue as opposed to just have a moment and then revert back to business as usual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you bringing that out, but my feeling is on it, you should feel that you are worth more than having to let someone touch you to get somewhere in this business. Any business, that's not just entertainment, but in general.
Amen.
So please, my God, you got to have more pride in yourself and tell people don't be afraid. And you know what? If you're going to get blacklisted for that, well, then you don't belong in that business. There's many other professions, I imagine.
And they'll lie. They don't have the power to blacklist anybody.
Yeah.
But it's that perception. Everybody thinks that power exists. No. It really doesn't.
No. Mike, I can't imagine. Oh, Ben, any last words?
About the Me Too stuff, it's wild that we've gotten to a point where there even has needed to be that movement. But you know, for you know, my time in this industry, I have I'm so proud to have met and worked with you know, some of the most talented people on the planet, and this community does have so many great people in it. And unfortunately, I don't think it's it is getting a lot of attention right now in the entertainment industry, but it's not an entertainment industry problem per se. It's a human behavior problem.
Oh, yeah. It's been around since the beginning of time.
And I'm excited to see the entertainment industry at the forefront of giving that behavioral problem voice.
Yeah.
But now, it's not just about
now,
the
unfortunately for me, I'm at the stage in my life where I wish somebody tried to molest me. I mean, nobody's even lining up. I'm just getting a little I'm getting a little disgusted.
I didn't come here for the radio show, Priscilla.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Alan Hooper and Ben Turner Dixon. And you can find Alan Hooper on alanhooper.com. You can see his, I'm going to call Modern Family your legacy. You can see the legacy of his work on Modern Family, which comes on every
Wednesday at 9 p.m. on ABC.
ABC and Superior Donuts.
Mondays, 9 o'clock on CBS.
Wow, that's amazing. You can remember that. He will go on to do great work. And I am going to beg him to come back on the show so we can continue talking about the updates for the casting director workshops, which I feel very strongly about. Thank you, Ben Turner Dixon.
So
I hope you get
us
to walk the red carpet and that somebody cast you in an A-list movie. And all I ask is that you let me sit on Harry Styles' lap. Please make it happen. That's all
From
I want.
Your mouth to, I'm promising
That's
it right
I
now.
All I want. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Priscilla.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.